The word innovation, are we using it wrong in sneakers? I'm going to dive into whether we're using it wrong and what innovation truly looks like this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights, the Iceman. I hope that it finds everybody well. I want to thank everybody for coming back, of course. We love every single one of you here at Fire Footwear. And let's get into the episode. So last time, we talked about Nike making a decision, actually making two decisions. The first decision was that they were going to pull back children's sneakers because they were going to look at the fit of them. And we said we were going to table what that truly means until this episode. We also talked about the fact that Nike was going to be pulling back some of its more popular models in the name of innovation. And over the past, a couple of months, we've talked a lot about the corporation and the consumer, and it comes up a lot because the behaviors of both of these sides, I think, is really, really important. But I think both of these kind of work hand in hand because last week we talked about what it would be like to have a sneaker vault. Would we love these shoes a lot? Because I think people today have grown a little bit tired of countless retros and all of that sort of thing. But if you look at today's world, though, here's the thing. Reboots, retros, nostalgia, it's really what a lot of content is based on. If you look at new movies coming out, new TV show ideas, and if you look at the sneaker market, retro is big. Retros in general are big because I think today, people like myself are in a certain place in life where nostalgia means something. At 41 years old, you start thinking to yourself, do I have more years in front of me or more years behind me? When you're younger, it doesn't matter. But as you get older, you start to think about nostalgia. You start to think about the fact that, wow, I really miss those things of the past. And the thing about it is, I think sneakers is in an interesting position in which I believe that they can traffic in nostalgia very, very easily because there is so much to look back on and feel a certain way about. And even if you're not somebody who's been in the market as few years as I have, I watched Michael Jordan play. And I think that that means something. There's nostalgia. When you watch the NBA today and you think about the fact that, man, they just don't play the way that they played in Jordan's era, which is ridiculous, but you get my point. And I think in so many aspects of popular culture, whether it's fashion or movies or whatever, nostalgia is now being oversold. And I think we're getting to the point where fatigue is starting to set in. And that's natural. The law of diminishing returns, it's going to happen. I've talked about that with sneakers for a while, that I think a lot of shoes are available because there are just so many shoes that come out that there's no way we can love them all. And I think that the fact that it's easier to get them is indicative of that type of tiring, I think, or that type of fatigue. And if you look at consumer behaviors over the last 5 to 10 years, it has shown that retros, especially Jordan retros, Dunks, and they're popular. They're popular amongst the consumer base because people were buying them in droves, especially during the pandemic. If you look at Adidas, Puma, New Balance, they all have their quote unquote retro models or their OG models. But to me, those models are really not as steeped in sneaker lore the way that Jordan brand is. I mean, they haven't made a movie about the first Air Balance. They haven't made a movie about any type of Puma. They made a movie called Air about the story of Jordan brand and how all of that started. And so I think that the fact that those models are also more steeped in athletic lore than anything else, they were shoes that were once considered athletic models exclusively. And now they have sort of over time been indoctrinated and become a part of quote unquote lifestyle shoes. They fit the mold in terms of fashion and they fit the mold in terms of form. And I think that that's really, really important. And I think that has been a shift that has been happening for a while with the advent of sneaker culture and everything that sort of comes around it is that models that have been around even longer than the Air Jordan are now becoming a part of sneaker culture. And so people are longing still to an extent for older models. However, you are seeing a little bit of a shift in that because the consumer versus corporation road, it does diverge at a point, and it does diverge here when you talk about the idea of innovation. And what do I mean by this? Well, when you go on social media, and we've talked before about how public opinion matters a lot in what sneaker culture thinks and does, And a lot of people will go into the comment section, whether it's an early look at a release coming up or whether it's Nike touting their new silhouette or their new shoe. You see a lot of people saying Nike isn't innovative anymore. They're not innovating anymore. And that, I think, is an interesting thing to look at, because innovation, when you look it up in the dictionary, is a new method, idea, or a product. And I think when people think to themselves about innovation in sneakers, I think that they're thinking about something else. And in my opinion, innovation exists purely in terms of the athletic shoe realm. And the corporations, I think, though, are putting both of those in the same category. They're putting performance and athletic lines in the same sales line. They're meeting two different objectives. NBA signature shoes, which is something that Nike does really, really well, and I think Adidas is coming around on that too. In my opinion, they are attempting to appease two different sets of people. They're trying to appease the athlete, of course, and if this is a signature model, they want that signature athlete to enjoy that model and want to play in it. And I think they're also, when designing these things, trying to placate to sneaker culture and sneaker heads. I think this is a bad idea. Some examples of this are, if you look at the Book One. The Book One is right now, I think, one of the hotter, newer models in terms of NBA signature athletes. It has a very Air Force One look and feel to it. And people are kind of flocking to it because it does have a very, very similar look to shoes that they are very familiar with. If you look at it, it's very plain. There's nothing that makes it stands out in terms of innovation, whether it's color blocking or whether it's technology in that shoe. The KD 17, Kevin Durant's been around a long time. The KD model has had tons of hits over the years. If you look at it, it's very heavily inspired by a Foot Locker exclusive design of the Air Max Plus. And while that's fire, it's not innovative. It's not creative. Nike, in my opinion, is attempting to innovate in areas that are happening other than basketball now. And this idea that they're going to pull off the Air Force One from the shelves and now start to innovate, I think they're actually putting it into action. You see the Pegasus Premium, which is a visible full-length Zoom Air, and that's an awesome look aesthetically, and it obviously is looking to do something different for your athlete where it's trying to form fit to the athlete's foot, and that's doing something different for every runner in its own way. Right now, leading up to the Olympics, you have the Pegasus 41, which has React foam on it. That's awesome. That's the first time that that's ever happened. You have the Nike breakdancing shoe that they're creating, and again, they're trying to make form and fashion in the same place. And one of the great things about that is it's something that breakdancers can use. They can be low to the ground. They're thinking about it in terms of how this athlete is going to use it. However, there is an upside down swoosh on it, which means when a breakdancer inevitably has their feet inverted, you're going to get that nice swoosh look. And Nike's thinking ahead on that. And then, of course, you have one that I think really is innovative, and it is the prototype that came out for the Nike PS8, or the Problem Solver 8. And this is Nike attempting to directly fix what they know is 8 problem areas that they have seen, whether it's in research or just talking to skaters, that they have had in past skating shoes. I think that's awesome. And this shoe actually looks really, really cool, because I think you can make a really cool looking shoe that also innovates in technological areas. Adidas is trying to do this too. They're trying to take some risks in creating new designs. The Anthony Edwards one is a good example. While it's hitting with some sneakerheads, it's not really hitting with all sneakerheads. But if you think about it, what was the last true shoe that truly innovated? Think about it. To me, I think it was the Yeezy. When Adidas took on Kanye West and you had some of these shoes coming out that were using Boost technology, unique designs. The Yeezy 350 is definitely one of the most unique designs ever. And I think that that's truly innovative. They were taking performance and making it just as important as fashion. And people love those shoes, even to the point where they are still selling like crazy on the resale market, because Kanye truly innovated. The Nike Air Yeezy 2 took elements of previous Nike shoes, of course. I'm talking about the outsole, but that's a unique shoe. That to me is innovative in terms of look. And I think though, when the sneaker community talks about this, when they say they want innovation, I don't believe that they're asking about technological advances. I think that they are trying to get to fire silhouettes or fire colorways. And again, creating a new colorway, it's not innovative. It's creative. And I think creativity is what Nike is lacking in a lot of cases, because I think if you go into the strategy rooms, the creative rooms of these sneaker companies, I think that they need to rethink their strategy a little bit when it comes to signature shoes in general, because They're not trying to innovate when it comes to sneaker culture. They're trying to innovate when it comes to their athletic lines. I think if you have a signature athlete come on board, it would be a great idea to have that person design a shoe that they can wear and ball in athletically and design a shoe that's going to speak to sneaker culture. And yes, you obviously want to try to do both, but I think that it's now getting to the point where sneaker culture and sneaker heads are expecting a performance shoe to be fire for their outfits. And I don't think that that's realistic. I think that it would be better if the athlete, especially if they're a sneakerhead, especially if they're in today's world, a lot of them are, you get somebody who comes in and designs something that they can look and feel good on the court, but also they can design something that people are going to want to have and even resell if that's what you're thinking about. I think that would be actually awesome. And I think perhaps when it comes to new lifestyle models, inviting real sneakerheads or street-level sneakerheads into the design process, not just celebrities, not just well-known sneaker lovers, but people who are actually part of the boots on the ground that I talked about. Imagine what it would be like if one of us listening to this right now got to design a shoe, got to help Nike come up with something that would be fire to the sneaker community, and hell, may actually innovate in terms of technology. You never know. I feel like corporations need to start filling their innovation spaces with people who live, eat, and breathe the culture. They don't do enough of that. The culture is not represented enough in these boardrooms. It's not represented enough in these design rooms. I've even said that it's not represented enough when it comes to complex and content. I think that that's true. And I think that what you will find is that design ideas not from people with design backgrounds, but a blend of old school and new school sneakerheads will give you a fountain of ideas. And I think it might even invigorate some of these designers to be a little bit more creative because now they're getting real feedback and real ideas from people, again, that live the culture. People who, when they leave that creative room, are going to go out and have conversations just like this with their friends. I think that would be awesome. I think that would be refreshing. And I think it would add a lot more ideas to the list or the queue that these companies have. I mean, it's awesome that Nike every Air Max Day is trying to give us something new. And the Air Max DN is a fine addition to the Air Max line, no doubt. But it's also a tired design. It's lacking any real true originality. And it's pulling from technology that it's claiming is innovative, but we have seen in other iterations. And that to me is just recycling. It has nothing to do with innovating. And now, of course, you're pulling back on retro releases and you're pulling back on all of these shoes that people know and love today. But I feel like it comes down to a sneaker resolution that I made, and that is less is more. Let's get back to loving what we have. Let's get back to thinking less about buying something new every single weekend. And maybe if we start doing that, and maybe if these companies start getting actual feedback from real sneakerheads, hell, we might actually get to a place where innovation and creativity are one in the same. Release of the week, where I like to highlight a shoe that has caught my eye. It's not always hype. This week, it actually might be. It's just something that I want you to know about. So the Jordan Airship we've talked about before, we talked about retros, we talked about nostalgia, and the Jordan Airship is rife with history, but I don't think that it comes with that same nostalgia. And Ama Manier is trying to get you to buy Airships, and now Awake NY is trying to get you to buy an Airship. And on April 13th, they are going to release their collaboration of the Jordan Airship, red snakeskin, white leather, some really nice touches that are nice branding to their brand, the outline swoosh. It looks premium, it looks fire, everybody's talking about it, and that releases on April 13th at US retailers and also in Europe. So again, if you like the shoe, if you like the Airship, go after it. I think it's gonna be $140, I don't exactly remember, but you know what? Having an Airship in your collection isn't the worst thing that you could do. So how do you feel about innovation in sneakers? Do you think that when people say they want innovation, they really mean creativity? I would love to know. Get in touch with the show. At Fire Footwear Pod is the handle on Instagram. On TikTok, at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle. The show is on Facebook. Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast, is what you would search. If you want to watch the show on YouTube or want to watch the videos I post, Fire Footwear, a sneaker podcast, is how you can find the channel. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you want to email some questions, comments, or whatever, firefootwearpod@gmail.com. And as always, support the Matty Ice Media Network, mattyicemedia.com. We have Iceman and Coach. We have political football. And I have also started a professional wrestling podcast called Freebird Rules. If you're a pro wrestling fan, get on that. Going to be releasing that episode very, very shortly. I'd love to have you. I hope everybody is well and safe as always. I want to thank everybody for giving their time this week. I love this community. I love all the people that listen. And I hope that we can continue this ride that we are on. I will talk to you next week, fam. This is Fire Footwear. Opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.